People loved by God, thank you for your almost 600,000 downloads in our first year. Please help us reach even more people in 2021 by making a year-end tax-deductible donation. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org/support.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
To answer the question about John and say that his baptism was from God was to admit that everything John testified about Jesus is the truth.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Greetings, people loved by God. I'm sure you remember that last time we witnessed that odd, destructive miracle of Jesus, where he was hungry, saw a fig tree and leaf, and when he found no fruit on it, cursed it, and it withered up then and there at his speaking. He spoke, it was done. The hunger showed him a true man, but the power of destruction that was also in his word showed him true God. And remember Chrysostom's insight that this instructed the disciples about the upcoming passion, that a word from Christ is enough to wipe out his opponents. But he did not speak that word, not then. Then was not the time for the judgment. That will come. The amazement of the disciples leads to Jesus teaching them a bit about faith and giving them a promise about prayer. Remember how to avoid mishearing what he's saying here by just remembering the denial of his own petition in the garden. But Jesus' point is that faith connects to the God to whom nothing is impossible, and so the mountain can be tossed into the sea, which is exactly what he will do with the mountain of our sin and death. Into the waters of baptism it'll be tossed and sink below the surface forever. Picking up the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, well, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." St. Matthew 21, verses 23 to 27. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Ready to dig into this fascinating incident and its teaching? Let's do it. Verse 23. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" So he arrives in the temple and sits down to teach, as was his custom, when his teaching is interrupted by the chief priests and the elders of the people. You can well imagine that they are still furious over the events of the prior day, the way Jesus had treated the temple as his own to cleanse and restore. So they demand from him that he first show them how he is authorized to do such things, and then explain to them who gave him such authority. You see, they had convinced themselves that he had no authority whatsoever to do any of the things that transpired the day before, and so they assumed he was acting on his own. Authorization, now, it's not a bad question, of course. If someone stops my car and writes me a ticket for speeding, that person better be authorized to do so. If a regular citizen like myself were to buy a flashing light and pull me over and write me a ticket wearing a cop uniform, that wouldn't change the fact that the ticket was simply not authorized, nor were they authorized to stop me. So, by what authority are you doing these things? It's not a bad question in itself. It was asked in bad faith, because they simply didn't believe he had any authorization. As God with us, God in the flesh, of course, he is the very source of all authority anyway. But we'll have to wait for that till the end of the gospel. Verse 24. Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things." Why do you think he didn't just tell them up front that his authority was from his Father, who had sent him into the world to save it? Could it be because all of his miracles, overflowing with the kindness and love of God, had already given ample testimony? St. John, in his gospel, records Jesus tracking along those lines a little later in Holy Week. "If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause." John 15, verses 24 and 25. Verse 25. The baptism of John. From where did it come? From heaven or from man? Now, why did Jesus throw that question their way when they asked for his authorization? A little help again from St. John's Gospel, this time chapter 5. "There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. He was a burning and shining lamp." The baptism of John was, of course, the occasion for our Lord to receive the sinner's baptism and receiving it to hear, and for John to hear and so witness, the very words of the authorizing Father, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." John would say that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John would say that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father, whom the Father in love for the world gave into the flesh, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. John would say he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit rests on him without measure. To answer the question about John and say that his baptism was from God was to admit that everything John testified about Jesus is the truth, and therefore, he is more than authorized to clear the threshing floor and gather the wheat into his garner, but to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him?" That is, particularly, why did you not believe what he publicly testified to about me, about Jesus? If John's baptism was from heaven, then John's witness to Christ at his baptism is also from heaven. And the words of John reveal that Jesus is the authorized Son of God sent into the world. Verse 26, "But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." the only alternative to being from God is being a human invention. That's from man. In other words, John was not then the one sent before Messiah to prepare his way. John was not the voice crying in the wilderness foretold by Isaiah. John was not the messenger of Malachi. And they knew better than to go there. We are afraid of the crowd. They might well have been convinced that John was as much of a demonic fraud as Christ was in their eyes. Yet they were terrified to owning up to that publicly, because they knew full well the great popularity of the Baptist among the populace. They all hold that John was a prophet. The fear of the crowd characterizes a lot of their behavior in Holy Week. It's why Jesus is arrested at night, taken in ambush, if you will, away from the crowd. It's why they rush through the sentence of condemnation and get Pilate to act so swiftly and early. They know that the crowd loved this man Jesus, this great healer and prophet, and obviously so much more. They didn't want them to get wind of what was up until it was a done deal. So if they are to get rid of him, it will have to be done by stealth, because of their very pronounced fear of man. Their dishonesty through it all is striking, though, isn't it? Verse 27. So they answer Jesus, "We do not know." "We do not know" is the agnostic dodge. Oh, we're just not sure. Their fear leads them to this prevaricating and deception. The irony, of course, is that they are posturing before the very one to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid. How many times has he answered a person in this gospel according to what they were thinking rather than what they were saying? He knows their thoughts and the fears of their hearts and how they are now lying. And he who will judge the living and the dead is the one they should have been afraid of, not fellow mortals. Think of Isaiah 51, verses 12 and 13. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man, who dies, of the Son of Man, who is like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. Continuing with that verse. And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." He promised he would answer their query if they gave him a straight response to his. They failed to do so. So he simply refuses to bother anymore with their question. In the great anonymous 4th century commentary on St. Matthew called the Opus Imperfectum, the writer glosses this verse thusly. It was as if he had said, "You know the truth because you are men, but you deny the truth because you are evil. I know it because I am God, but I will not tell you because you are unworthy." Significantly, though, St. Jerome, the translator of the Scriptures into the great Vulgate, the Latin version, notes that Jesus doesn't quite leave it there. Listen, in answering Jesus that they did not know, the chief priests and the elders lied. Consequently, it would have been appropriate for the Lord to respond by saying, "Neither do I know." But the truth cannot lie. So he replied instead, "Neither will I tell you." By this he shows both that they knew the answer but were unwilling to say it, and that he also knew the answer but will not speak it, because they remained silent. Immediately then, he tells a parable designed to convince them of their own sinfulness and of the necessity that the kingdom of God be transferred to the Gentiles. And that parable, folks, is what will occupy our attention next time. Usually called the parable of the two sons, I like to call it the parable of the will of the Father. and will see that Jesus is far from being done with the question they refuse to answer. He draws out the implications of it for them, just like St. Jerome said, by highlighting two very different responses to John's baptism. Till then, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.